Hello and welcome to Just Say Effort, where today we are talking about
running.
Running.
For a change.
We realised that one of us is a professional running coach, so why not utilise her skills to give us the ins and outs, the information, the getting started, getting restarted, all the tips and tricks from a professional coach.
I love that when you say
Lissy
that.
Duncan.
When you say, we just realised.
No, we didn't really just realise. But whilst we were talking about it, we actually thought, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Let's utilise your skills.
I don't forget that I'm a coach. It's part of my everyday life. So,
it'd be weird if you did, wouldn't it?
It would be weird.
51st dates. Have you ever seen that?
Yes.
Every day you wake up and you need a video just to tell you that you're a coach.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for thanks for integrating that. So
yeah,
must watch it again sometime.
Before we get started, how are you?
Yeah, really good actually. I think since we last spoke, I've been continuing my running journey. Getting back into it. Today I've got a session, or I guess my first proper interval session. On Tuesday I just did a little bit of a tempo with the group that I train with, and tonight we're doing some 4 minute intervals. So just by 4 minutes, nothing special. Still a very controlled pace, but it'll be interesting to see how my foot pulls up. My body was certainly sore after just doing a little bit of tempo running on Tuesday night. So I think there's, you know, there's obviously like the aerobic fitness that I've been able to maintain, but then, you know, I guess, and muscular strength from all the gym workouts that we've been doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the muscle memory from, the lack of muscles from running. You know, at that pace, I think it'll take a little bit of time to come back.
Definitely. I have found it very difficult adjusting back to being at a pace about 2 months ago to now being considerably slower than that pace.
Well, tell us about, you had a running session this morning on the track. It sounded pretty brutal from what you were saying.
Yeah, it was basically a 15-minute jog. That wasn't the brutal part.
Okay, good.
and then it was 100 meters of like really easy running, and 100 meters of what you probably define as like your comfortable running pace, and then it was 1K of like really going for it, like, and that was times six. So by the sixth one, I was ready to heel over.
Yeah, I bet. And not a long time to reset as well. Like, you don't actually get to stop. You have to keep moving.
Nah. I mean, 100 meters, a bit like, you know, when you've got like a minute's rest and you're like, that's ages. But then when you start resting for a minute, it comes around pretty quickly that you're back to it.
Yeah, really.
You think 100 meters is quite a far walk, but it's not. It's over in seconds.
Yeah.
And then you're back again.
Yeah, like, I bet.
Where's the reprieve?
Well, there's not, because you're about to do a 50K race, so you don't get any of that. How much longer until the race? Like, how hard are these sessions going to get?
They get worse, or they get harder. Not worse. They get harder for the next four weeks, I believe, and then it's 2 weeks of just filling out. But I've also got another, what have I got? On a Saturday. It might do on Sundays, regardless, it doesn't matter. The length of time that I go trail running is going up every hour. So this Saturday is going to be 2 hours. The next Saturday will be 2.5 hours. The next Saturday will be three. The next Saturday will be 3.5 hours. And then we'll taper back down.
Yeah, so 3.5 hours will be the longest?
I think so, yeah.
Yep.
Which on a trail, I mean, this is the first time, this one was the first one I ever did. And I'd never even run on a trail, so I'm pretty confident I'll be all right.
Yeah, I think so. I think what I really like about trail running is that, and I love that you're going by time rather than distance.
Yeah,
because I think it's really easy to get caught up in running, you know, certain number of Ks, and I know I'm certainly guilty of it as well, like neglecting hill training and neglecting the trails, because it's quicker and it's over sooner if you just run along like a bitumen path or around Albert Park Lake.
Yeah.
You know, much easier over, nice and quick. But if you're doing like 2 hours on the hills, it certainly keeps you honest and keeps you on a varying terrain, which is much better for your body in terms of, you know, getting some like strength through your legs, using different muscles, and then also being able to recover from it as well.
Yeah, and also getting used to walking up those hills, because it's one of those where you actually need to. It's something you need to practice.
Yeah, it's a skill. Power hiking.
Yeah.
On your like, how hilly is your 50K going to be? Like, are you going to need to have poles?
Nah, I think it's 1,100 meters of elevation, which sounds a lot, but for a 50K, it's not that bad, I don't think.
Yeah, because it's over
There's somewhere, and as I say, you walk up the hills anyway, so like, and you're having a chat.
Yeah.
Nice view at the top.
Yeah, perfect. So where are you going to go? Yu Yang's, Dandenong Ranges?
Yeah, I reckon that's the closest place. Plus, the views there are crazy. Although I did take some friends there for a hike once. And my friend Jess said, make it hard. So I found one that was brutal. And it was 900 meters of elevation in 500 meters.
Sounds fun. Wait, this is Dandenong Ranges?
No, half a mile. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's because you're supposed to go along the paths, the hairpins, and this just took you straight vertically up. So you were actually climbing. It was brutal.
I reckon I know exactly what you're talking about. And there's a road that kind of has like S-bends all the way up, and then there's a fire trail that goes straight up.
You had a picnic from there recently.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Good memories.
So that's me, I guess.
Yes, sounds pretty good. Actually, just a question. So these are obviously, you know, you've had some time off and you're back into running now. And like this weekend is 2 hours, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like after having some time off, it's like, it's pretty impressive just to get straight back into like 2 hours of running when, you know, you had a few weeks off at Glastonbury and all that.
Yeah.
How do you get to, you know, where you were at the start? Like, how long, like in your initial journey, how long did it take for you to feel, to start feeling comfortable at running longer distances regularly?
I would say that the first time I ran a 10K, I was pretty happy with it, and I didn't go mad. So I finished and I was like, oh, that was all right. But I would say when my coach started ramping up runs to like 15K, and there's a bit of hills in there, and I thought, oh, actually, my legs seem to be doing okay through this. And because I was doing it where, you know, I'm not going out and doing a tempo run. Like it was doing it on heart rate and making sure that like, you know, I wasn't just gassing myself out. So I'd probably say around that time, I'd start doing some 18Ks, and then I felt really good, and I was doing that every Friday before a long run on a Sunday. Don't know why he stopped doing that, actually, but he really ramped it up for me. And then, to be fair, I did my first ever half marathon, and after that, I was like, ooh.
Okay, I'll be honest. I'm just going to stop you there because I've never once in my life said those words that like, oh, I did an 18K run and felt really good on that. I think that like, I don't think running ever really gets easy because you just kind of end up, I mean, you're still running for a long time. You still end up just running a little bit faster, I guess, as you get fitter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I certainly found that at the beginning of my running journey, I didn't love running. I just very much love the social aspect.
Yeah. Well, this is what I was going to ask you was, because I think the biggest misconception when it comes to starting running is that you, and I hear this all the time, usually somebody goes out for a run and then they say, oh, well, I hated it. I actually hated it. I hated the whole thing. It was really painful. And I always say to them, you know, nobody enjoys running when they start. Like, nobody enjoys it. But to prove that point, I would like to know what it was like for you when you first started running.
I mean, well, when I first started running, I was a teenager, so I just fell in love with the social aspect of it. I did not like running at all. I would use any excuse to stop early or to take any shortcuts.
Yeah.
But I guess classic teenager in that way. I was definitely not an overachiever. I was just there for the fun. But I mean, certainly along my professional running journey, like I have had parts where I've really, I mean, hate is a strong word, but I've strongly disliked running. But you kind of just, you've got to get out there and do it. Cause especially if you've got a goal and you want to achieve the goal, it's not gonna do itself. No. And so you do need to put in the work. You do need to do the hard yards. You do need to put yourself out of your comfort zone,
yep,
and just kind of dig deep so that you can actually get the results in the end. But certainly I think if you're just getting into running for the first time, definitely recommend doing intervals. Like, don't even try and just like run 5K without stopping. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. No. And I think the best way to get the most out of yourself, and particularly if you're trying to run, you know, 5K, 10K half marathon for the first time and you really haven't run before, I would very much recommend just doing short intervals. So it might be, you know, three minutes jog, 1 minute walk, and start doing that for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then gradually increase those intervals so that you're jogging for 9 minutes, walking for 1 minute, for 50 minutes or something.
Yep.
And just keep progressing like that and aim to get in the volume, but don't be afraid to stop for walk breaks, because you're still going to be able to get those aerobic benefits and you're going to be able to enjoy it more. You're going to be able to hold your form and your pace.
Yeah. It's a bit like we were talking about with me doing trail running, that it's more time on feet than doing the whole thing without stopping.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially if you want to run for 30 minutes and you're getting to a point where you're doing, you know, 7 minutes jog, 1 minute walk, that's going to be so much more enjoyable if you're a new runner than just like flogging yourself and running 30 minutes straight. And you're probably more likely to keep getting out there and doing it. Whereas if you just force yourself to run through without stopping, it's like, it's not fun and it's probably not sustainable.
I will throw this out to you, because this is something that everybody thinks at when it comes to these recommendations, you know, where it's like, you know, run for 4 minutes, walk for two. But it's embarrassing that I'm walking.
It's not though. It's really not. And I think it's a really great way to be able to reset. And I very much get, and especially, you know, when I've had runners that I've coached come back from either like sickness or maybe even an injury or starting from scratch, doing it, you're going to be able to just like stop, be composed, regain composure, technique, and just really make the process sort of smooth rather than sort of hurting yourself. Because yeah, you can, because even, I mean, at this time of year, everyone seems to be getting sick. And so if you've had to have time off or pull back your training, you can get out of breath more easily, and you know, you don't want to be like overdoing it unnecessarily.
Yep.
So stopping for a break, you're actually probably going to get a better quality run in a lot of different ways.
Yeah. And in turn, you'll enjoy it more.
Absolutely. So you're going to be consistent. And I mean, the way to improve is to be consistent with whatever you're doing. Just keep showing up. So you got to be sensible and do it in a way that is actually going to be something that you can maintain.
Yeah. I often think about when I started running. I know we've covered this before, but my dream was to run a 5K without stopping. It was like, I was obsessed with the idea. And I would run, I'd listen to a podcast, and I'd probably get, you know, maybe after a little bit, a couple of K in, and then I'd have to stop and I'd walk for a little bit, and then I would continue running, and then I might have to quickly stop for a little bit, and then I'd continue running. But I was actually more happy that I did the distance than I was without stopping. And then once I got to the point of being able to do it without stopping, obviously I was jumping for joy. In fact, I actually found it really weird, because I know we've covered this before, but my coach made me keep my heart rate really low, which meant that I was basically walking. But when I finished, I was more perplexed at how easy I found it based on that. But I would always recommend, much like you just said, just from my own experience of if you feel like you need to stop, go an extra 10 meters and then stop.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think, I mean, there's plenty of different ways to do it. And so, you know, keeping the pace really slow and keeping your heart rate low is a great way that you can actually be able to run the whole 5K without stopping. Mm. But then also by doing intervals, then you can explore faster paces that you know you can't maintain it for 5K just yet. But you can, you know, explore it and then stop and reset and kind of go again. But certainly, I really like your strategy of like when you feel like you need to stop to walk or have a break, see if you can just go a little bit more. And I remember like when I was a teenager as well, I think particularly in races, I would get really bored in cross country races, only like 2 or 3K. But I would just kind of aim for the next tree and just go, all right, just hold on till the next tree. Or, you know, I was doing a lot of cross country back then, whatever it is, until after the hill, whatever, having something that you can actually see that you're, you know, just hold on until there and then you can have a break. And then I would keep tricking myself into just like going a little bit further. But I mean, I think the most important thing is to have a variety. So like your coach was getting you to do some longer runs where you're really not thinking about pace. You're just thinking about being able to sustain running for as long as you can, and then different intervals as well where you can explore faster paces.
So my next question to you then is, I'm a new runner. I just want to get into running. I don't have a plan. All that interval stuff sounds too crazy to me. What are my key first steps?
The thing I love about running is that you can literally just go out the door and just get started. I reckon a couple of things. If you actually do, like, you know, if you want to get into it you want to do it safely. You don't want to get injured. You don't want to hurt yourself, and you don't want to end up having to see physio regularly. So I would definitely, first of all, recommend getting fitted for shoes. So there's plenty of great places like there's another one in Albert Park, the running company, I think. They've got a few of them, and they've got, I think the one in Clifton Hill, they also have a treadmill, so you can actually try out the runners. I'm not really familiar with one of them, but I think it's really important to make sure that you've got correct fitting footwear, and you've tried a couple of different types to make sure that you've got some that are fitting for your feet. I think, like, I really think that it's important to get correct fitting shoes, because I think that we all have a tendency to go a size too small, and I'm definitely guilty of this as well. I've had this this year, and I've actually never lost any toenails in my running career up until this year, and I think that my feet must have grown a little bit, but I've lost, I think I lost 4 in a really short period of time. Whoa. And the rest are like black. So I think it is really important that, because even like, even if you have your own, I guess, like trusted shoes that you always wear, different models or new models can actually fit a little bit differently as well. So I think it's just something to keep in mind as well, making sure that you've got good fitting shoes, because if that's going to prevent an injury in the long run, then, I mean, that's certainly going to save you a lot of time, money, and all of that. So,
yeah,
good fitting shoes.
Lack of embarrassment at the beach.
Yeah. Let my toenails. I'm
getting the clangers out.
Beyond caring. That's what nail polish is for.
My mate Lewis is it's so bad. He's yanked a couple of them out with pliers.
Oh no. I feel like I'm gonna have to ask to see these.
You need to see it. It's one of them looks like it goes to a portal to another world.
There's
like a hole what used to be there.
Okay, I've never seen anything like that. Mine kind of fell off. I kind of already had toenails growing underneath by the time they fell off. So they were just like really thick.
Yeah,
and then I was,
that's what I get.
Yeah.
Cool. I also am so squeamish that I would never pull it off.
Yeah, well, I came out of the shower one day and I don't know why. I think I was just like sitting on the floor and then I just kind of noticed it. And because it was like soft from coming out of the shower, that's when it came off. And I was actually kind of excited because I've never lost a toenail before. And I was like, finally, I'm a real runner.
Yeah. I'm a real boy.
So I think definitely getting correct fitting shoes. Yep. I reckon it's really important to jump in with a running group. So see if you can find other people to run with or a running partner to help.
I will say this though, that the next question that would be asked from the people that are in this situation is that they would say, I can't go to these things. I'm not fit enough.
Yeah. Okay. All right, two things on that. There was one thing that I forgot to say and I've just remembered what it was. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that secondly. But the thing is, I've certainly heard that as well, and people are saying like, oh, I'll come to the run group once I get fit.
Yeah.
But the whole point is using the run group to help you get fit.
Correct.
Because that's what's gonna help keep you coming back. I think it's really hard to like be so self-motivated to like be getting up by yourself and getting out the door, especially like through winter and just like day in, day out or week in, week out. But use the running groups around you to, you know, even if you need to walk most of the run, you know, we jumped in with Happy Feet Run Club on the weekend and they were so inclusive. It was great. I'd never been there before. But they were very welcoming and, you know, their pace was, you know, like a decent jogging pace, so like 5:30, 5:40 per K. But if you wanted to run slower, you could. If you wanted to walk, you could. But even just meeting up with them at the start, you have a little bit of a chat, have a little bit of a stretch with everybody, and then everyone sets out.
Yep.
you can walk, you can do whatever you want.
People actually do walk as well.
Absolutely, but it's just having people there at the start to hold you accountable to actually start at a particular time.
Yeah.
And then even just jumping in for the post-run coffee as well. It's like, it's just a really nice habit to get into.
Yeah, definitely.
The other thing that I think is really important is the pre-run activation and the stretching. And especially if you are getting into running later in life, or you're mm-hmm. in your 30s mm-hmm. or later, I think it's really important to make sure that you're activating your muscles correctly and then also stretching afterwards too. And these are like, it doesn't take long. It can take 5 or 10 minutes of, you know, just mobilizing your body to get out there. But I would definitely start with that and then keep it in there forever. Just get into the habit of doing it, because your body will very much thank you. Because as you get, you know, as you're running more, I know so many runners who have been running for a long time. And I mean, back when I started, we would just have like, you just literally like roll out of bed and then go for a run, probably like fasted, haven't even had breakfast or anything to eat or drink.
This is me.
Yeah, no warm up. See, this is the thing. How long have you been running for?
Three and a bit years.
Yeah, so you're still fresh.
Yeah.
You've got lots to come.
Yeah, I would say that I still do roll out of bed. Most of the time, I don't have time to eat before I go for a run early in the morning.
Well, you do.
I see.
You could get up earlier.
I see the look that you're giving me. I don't have time.
Because you set your alarm too late.
Correct.
Okay, and that's fair enough, and that's totally fair enough. I would do the same. I'm not a snoozer. I wake up when the alarm goes because it's very last minute.
I do. I just set the alarm for a time, you know, that is close to my run.
Yeah. No, I definitely get that, and I have had a lot of runners that I coach, and they are the same. They can't eat before they run. They don't like it. One thing that I would definitely recommend is juice, because it's such a great way to be able to get in some carbs, and it's something that most people can actually digest pretty well before running as well, if you can't eat before.
I used to do toast, but then I'm not sure if I'm gluten intolerant.
Yeah.
I need to find that out.
Do you know what I think is better than toast is crumpets. You can actually eat gluten-free crumpets too. They look terrible.
You are speaking to the converted. I am a massive crumpet fan.
Oh, what? I didn't know this.
Yeah, huge. I'm such a crumpet fan, but I will say this. The crumpets back in the UK, you get Warburton's crumpets.
Yep.
And they're double the thickness. And
is that good or bad?
It's unbelievable. And you put it in the toaster, wait until it gets like a little bit burnt on the outside, but inside is just pure fluff. Unbelievable. And I love them so much that I brought them in as contraband to Australia. I didn't know that. Yeah, I can actually just bring them in and just declare it.
Yeah,
I think so. I don't know why I'm admitting this. I didn't declare it, and then I went through I've never been so nervous in my entire life, just holding on to a bag of crumpets. I must have had probably 5 packs.
I was going to say, if you went to that effort for one pack, I'd be so disappointed.
Individually, that's 30 crumpets.
Yeah, that's good. How long did that last?
Not long.
Yeah,
probably wouldn't. I'd probably say probably 5 days.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's why I didn't bring them back this time.
Yeah.
I was like, I know what I'm going to do, and I'm supposed to be getting in shape. I'm just going to absolutely murk them down.
Well, you know what? The Golden Circle ones are in Golden Circle. They're in whatever that brand is, they're on sale this week in Woolworths. I think it's half price.
Yeah, but that's because it's half a crumpet.
Yeah, it's true. It's in dollars, though, instead of pounds.
In the UK, your crumpets here would be called pikelets.
Right.
Because they're half the crumpet.
I'm going to have to try them. I think I'm heading over there in a few weeks.
Yeah. If you do, though, bring me some back.
Yeah, I will. Wait, one more question. What do you have on them?
Oh, I'm just a straight butter guy.
Right.
Yeah. Any lunatic that's putting, you know,
jam
and sweet things on it, lunacy to me. I like the simple flavors, you know.
Yeah, interesting. I remember someone was telling me that they would just eat them plain out of the packet.
Yeah, that's as mental as that's
not normal.
That's not normal at all. No, I like it drowning in butter.
Yeah,
if you pick it up, the plate's there to catch.
Oh yeah.
The entire tub of, in fact, I should put the butter tub back underneath because.
To catch the excess.
Yeah.
My mum was a bit like that growing up. She was very much butter and honey. And I just remember her, like, just that visual. And I've never been like, I've never been a fan of butter. Like all my life, when I was a kid, I refused to eat. I eat it now, but that was like my worst nightmare seeing that.
I reckon the more you talk to me about certain things like this, this is why I went through challenging obesity. You're like, yeah, no. When I was a kid, this is how opposite we are in a lot of things. When I was a kid, I used to go to this pub and my nan and granddad took me, and a guy called Frank owned it. Apparently, he was a really mean guy, but whenever I turned up, he like lit up. Don't ask me why. Anyway, he would sit us on our favorite table. Anybody that was sat there, we would tell him to get lost. And then he would put like a bowl of packed butter, like loads of different packs, you know, that you get in a hotel. And I would eat just that.
Oh,
I would be smashing packs of butter down.
I just don't understand it. And I've seen that. I saw something recently, and someone was putting butter on there, like those little containers, into their pasta. And I reckon there was about, it's I saw glorious. Like six of them on top of the pasta. And I was like, makes me feel so sick just the thought of it.
To be fair, though, I reckon that's a student, because there's no way that anybody is. Nobody's buying individual packs of butter. So that's somebody that's.
No, I reckon it was.
That's somebody that's stolen those.
Yeah, probably. Most likely from a hotel. I think it was a restaurant, though. I think it was actually in Italy. I don't know.
Definitely not in Italy.
I'll do some research.
Have you seen that video of those people where there's a guy that tries to annoy Italians whilst in Italy?
I haven't.
And he gets like pasta. He gets spaghetti.
Yeah.
And then he like takes it out of the packet, and holds it, and then breaks it in the street. And you can see the Mamma Mia in everybody's eyes. They're haunted.
Yeah,
he'll
I bet.
Get ketchup and put it onto the.
Oh yeah, no. I think ketchup's probably the worst. I mean, I'm not.
Oh, it's horrible.
I'm not someone to be giving out food advice because I know that I've got a lot of weird habits, but yeah. I think ketchup on...
You like wraps, cottage cheese, salad.
Don't embarrass me. That's like not even bad. I think you haven't even seen the worst, but...
I've got a video of you basically Frankensteining two wraps together.
It's like a daily thing. I think my... One of my biggest problems is probably putting barbecue sauce on everything.
Yeah, no.
And so everything that I eat actually just tastes like barbecue sauce. And if I cook something at home, not satisfied with the flavor, it's like, you know what? I got a way to improve this. It's supposed to be like chicken satay. It's now barbecue sauce flavored.
You don't even get like a fancy barbecue though, do you?
You go
for the one that is at a food truck that's like, you know, massive vat catering style. Big bottle.
That's the one, Master Foods. I will say, though, I've tried Aldi brand, I've tried the Coles Home brand, and I've tried, I think, Fountain, and they're just not the same. So I am a little bit of a barbecue sauce snob when it comes to Master Foods.
Before we get back to running.
Sorry,
no. I'm going to suggest that we do a blind barbecue sauce test.
I've told you that my taste buds are, like, very... all of my senses, apart from my eyes, yeah. Like yeah, everything else, I will taste anything.
I was I've got a little. We will get back to running, I promise. I have a little penchant for scaring people, and Lissy is the only person that I cannot scare.
Yeah.
And today, with my mate Lewis watched her walk past, and I was like, "Watch this! I promise you, I cannot scare her." And I scare that guy every day. And opened it up. I basically looked like a proper creep coming up behind you. And before, the wind was around. So, like, there's no way you'd have been able to hear me. But suddenly you turn around, you're like, oh, there you are. Like,
oh, yeah.
God damn it.
I have a feeling. I have some extra senses, I reckon.
I think so, yeah.
I know when there's people lurking.
You know when there's a guy creeping up on you.
Yeah, well, better luck
next
time.
One day I'll get you. Yeah, I've even done it when you're... in your car, minding your own business. You didn't even know I was there. And I'm like, whoa. And you're like, oh, hello.
What do you want again?
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, running.
Yeah.
So, tips for getting back into running. I have a question for you. How fast should people run when they're starting out? I know we've got the interval thing, but how fast?
I think you want to be able to talk. You want to be able to have a conversation. And I know that this idea is kind of crazy for people who are just new to running. And people have said it to me before, like, how can you possibly have a conversation when you're running? it just becomes normal. I think if you're, especially if you're a chatterbox like me, but I think that you want to feel like you are holding back enough that you could have a conversation if you want to. You should, like, it does take time, I think, to for that to be normalized, but you don't want to be pushing yourself so hard that you're like out of breath. I mean, obviously your fitness is going to improve as the more that you run, but you want to be pretty comfortable that you're not like gasping for air.
Yeah. I always say, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong in this, because I'm not a professional coach. Whenever somebody goes to me, oh, I can run 2K and then I'm gassed. I always say to them, you're running too fast.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to slow it down.
Yep, I would say so as well. But then also, if you like, if you are, then you know, if you're struggling after 2K, then maybe you go, you know, 1K walk a minute, 1K walk a minute, and just like maintain that for, you know, up to 5K or something, and then sort of piece it together gradually. But I would say a lot of people as well, they're not used to a lot of runners when they're first starting out, they don't necessarily know what pace to run. And so I think if in doubt, just slow it down, make it super comfortable, make it an enjoyable experience. Even if you're going like 30 seconds, 1 minute slower, not per K slower than you would have expected. Just don't get caught up in preconceived ideas of what pace you should be running or comparing yourself to others when you're first starting out. Just do a pace that feels okay to you that you can actually sustain.
Yeah. I agree with you on that comparison thing. I know we've touched on it before, but I think it's so important. Like, I really believe that something like Strava, as an example, I know I always call out Strava, but I believe that Strava, you should only start using Strava when you're at an intermediate level. I think if you're just using it when you're at a beginner, it would be the most disheartening thing ever. Because really, the whole app started for elite cyclists. So, and it's always been for people that are of a very good standard. And now there's people that are tracking their runs through Strava, but the concept of the app hasn't changed. And people that aren't as good, or, well, it's not even as good, it's people that aren't as fast as the elite runners are going to look at that and feel disheartened. And all it brings is comparison, because it's a show off app. There's no, as much as they try and build community in there, I do not believe that community exists in it. I've never messaged anybody in it. All that happens is my watch automatically uploads stuff, and then people like it. They'll just give me the kudos, and that's it. I've never messaged somebody. The last time I messaged somebody was when I was replying to you, where you said, "Where's the rest of the run?" After I'd blown up and I was supposed to do 30K. I laughed hard at that.
It was only 21 that was actually listed. But where's the rest?
I would say, just don't. You may think that I'll be saying that because I've brought out an app.
A little bit of a biased opinion here.
But yeah, you'd think it's biased, but I really, really believe it. I think there is no way that you're ever going to look at what anybody else is doing and find it inspiring when you start. Like my first run, my first 5K that I did when I was like finally, you know, doing this with my coach, I averaged 7 minute 30s per K. I was over the moon because I did the whole thing without stopping. And I could have gone again. Like it was one of the greatest feelings ever. If I'd have uploaded that into Strava and then looked at Strava, and I've got all my mates doing these, I don't know, four minute per K, you know, average on a 5K run, I'd be like, how on earth am I going to shave 3.5 minutes? Like this is way too long a journey, and I'm just, do you know what? I'll give up.
I think the only thing that it would be helpful, like one thing that I like about Strava is that it can measure your, I guess, like your weekly mileage. And I think that's a really important thing to track when you're first getting involved as well, because getting started with running, because if you've got like sometimes you don't realize that you haven't been for a run in like a week or two. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you think, oh, and you end up playing catch up. But I think it's really important when you're starting out to be consistent yeah. and think about your weekly mileage or even your fortnightly mileage, whatever it is, but make sure that you're being consistent with it. Because if you're going to change your loads too much, then that's when little niggles or injuries can pop up. So I think it's good to be able to see what you're doing.
And how far you've gone.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think that a lot of, you know, if you're just on there looking at what other people are doing and comparing it, I've spoken to a lot of people who have had, you know, I guess a really negative experience because of that.
Yeah.
Just because they like, you know, because they are comparing to other people, but also because they're making their own runs faster. And I think you've mentioned before how like you've ended up like sprinting your warm down just so that the 100%. Overall pace is faster. And I mean, I've done that before, like when it's supposed to be an easy jog and, you know, I've had a really hard, you know, maybe hard track session the day before. And then I've got, you know, an hour easy jog. I'm actually like still a bit cooked from the track session, but it's like, oh, I don't want to run slow. Cause then
everybody will see it.
Yeah. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You've just got to, and I think that when, like you, if you are on apps like that, you've just got to like not care. You've just got to pull away from that and just put the ego aside and just go. It is what it is, and you know, you can have it private so that only you can see it, or you yeah. can have it to, if you're going to have it set to everybody, you know, people are going to have their opinions, but you know, the only thing that really matters is that, you know, you're on your own journey and you're doing it for yourself.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the most important things to preface is that you're doing it for yourself. Because even, you know, when people go, you did a marathon or like, where did you come? What do you mean? Like,
yeah. There's like so many people in a marathon.
50,000 people yeah. that are doing it. And it's nice to know you're in, I don't know, the top 10% or whatever, or for you, literally just won a half marathon. So you did win it.
That's helpful. Yeah, it's easier yeah. to know where you were.
Yeah, where did you come? First.
Someone told me
it's definitely a whole thing for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
There was something you said though. Sorry for interrupting, but there was something you said about distance, and for new runners, how, let's say you've got let's say my name's John.
Hi, John.
Hi. Hello. I have decided I want to get into running. I've not really run before, maybe just casually in some sports, like football. And I am now going to run. So the next 4 weeks, what would you say is my mileage?
I would aim to
kilometerage,
start.
If that's.
Definitely I would go by minutes, not mileage, because okay. that could be, you know, it could differ, but just thinking about time on feet.
Yep.
And I would start off by, I mean, 2 to 3 times a week. I think maybe for the first, if you've been doing some running, like playing football, then you're probably yep. fine to be jumping into 3 times a week, but just keeping it light. And it could be, you know, 20 minutes of total volume over the first couple of weeks. And that's walk jogging volume.
Yep.
So it might be, you know, that might be 4 minutes jog, 1 minute walk for 20 minutes, and then sort of gradually building up from there. But the most important thing is consistency and building these habits. So it doesn't yeah. necessarily matter, you know, what you're actually doing, but just make sure that you set aside time that you are doing it 3 times a week. So yeah. you just know Monday, Wednesday, Friday, it's happening. Like, it's non-negotiable. And if you're time poor or if you're tired, then you can shorten it, but just get out the door and just yeah. like, you know, make sure that those habits are remaining, because that's what's really going to set you up in the long run.
Well, that is why I sent you a reel, maybe last week, about the 15 minutes 3 times a week.
Yep.
And it reduces your all-cause mortality by 50%.
Yep.
Just by getting out. That's 45 minutes that you could just get out and run.
Yep, absolutely. What I really liked about that as well is it sort of mentioned about the high intensity
yep.
Work as well. And I actually sent that to my mum, and she was really proud of herself, because she actually does. She power walks up this. She lives in the Dandenong Ranges, and so she power walks up this hill and then goes down these steps, and then we'll like go back up the steps again before yeah, coming nice. Down and then like going home. And And I mean, it's a walk, but it's a way that she can like get her heart rate up. I think she jogs a little bit as well, but she aims to get her heart. She's actually had a heart attack when she was in her 40s. Whoa. So she's, you know, very, very conscious of making sure that she's looking after her heart health. Yeah. So it doesn't take much, but just incorporating these, you know, little things into your daily routine can be like beneficial.
Yeah, 100%. So there's some tips for John.
Yeah.
I know that you touched on gear. And I don't know if you've ever seen that reel of, or it's like a meme of the guy who or woman that starts running and they're just wearing like, you know, casual stuff
mm-hmm.
all the way until the point where they're like, you know, three times they've done a marathon. They're wearing the like those, Lycra shorts, vest top, carbon shoes, Speedies. Oakley sunglasses,
yeah.
Cap on. Which one's right?
You know what? You got to wear what you're comfortable in.
Yeah.
Whether it's like physically comfortable or just like socially comfortable. But I can tell you, my sister used to wear a pair of board shorts when she was running. So all through her teenage years, she would just always wear these like blue board shorts. It was iconic. Nice. And she would win state titles in like track, cross country. She'd be competing at nationals and stuff, but she was just always wearing these board shorts. It doesn't matter what you're wearing. It doesn't matter what you look like. And I think that that can be, you know, when you are seeing people in run groups, people in races, and they've got their Alpha Flyers and they've got their sort of like fluoro clothes on and black,
yeah,
sleek looking outfits. I think it can be like quite intimidating.
Yeah.
And I mean, to be honest, I actually had the same thing. We've been doing lots of Pilates classes recently and
yeah.
Everyone goes in there and they're wearing matching crop top and shorts. It has to be the same color, has to be like very sleek, has to be Lululemon.
Yeah,
you have to like feel like you look the
or
part.
Else KD.
Yeah. And I felt a little bit self-conscious because runners kind of have like, well, my clothes are kind of scrappy and they're quite like bright. I never really wear matching clothes. It would always be like, you know, bright. Well, today I had like bright purple top and red shorts. It is just kind of whatever you pull out. And I think that I think that it can be a little bit intimidating thinking that you have to have the gear. If it makes you feel good to wear matching outfit, do it because, you know, whatever's going to get you out the door, but you don't have to. Just yeah. wear what like whatever feels comfortable. I would definitely recommend getting a good fitting sports bra for women.
I was going to say, thanks.
Thanks
for the advice. Or
for anyone that needs it, not necessarily just women. But I would make sure that you're comfortable, make sure that you're looking after your body. Get some anti-chafe cream if you like. I've got some Premax stuff that I really like.
Do you know what I've been using? Because for a while I was like, how on earth? I'd have to wait maybe 20 minutes before I got in the shower just because of chafe. And I never really felt like I was chafing, but it was just when you get in the shower that you get the shock of like, whoa. Just standard Vaseline.
Yeah, okay.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no need for fancy product.
Yeah, it is a little bit like...
No, there's one that's a bit oilier.
Yeah, okay. The one that I have is Premax, and it's like I've had one tube for probably like 6 or 7 years. Like it just lasts forever because you don't need to use that much of it. It does spread really well.
Yeah.
And I mean that like you put it on, you don't actually worry. I get it a lot under my arm, under my lats. I must have massive lats from so sometimes it sort of rubs there or maybe like in your legs or wherever. But you just want to make sure that you feel comfortable.
Yeah. On that, this one will, I think you could do a whole podcast on this question that I'm about to ask you. And I imagine we will do. In fact, we will do. We'll just do it. However, the next question, shorter answer, fitness watches. Do I need one?
How long do you want me to talk on this?
We're going to do a full podcast.
I mean, you don't need one. No, you don't need one. I would recommend at least a stopwatch. I think running with your phone can be a bit clunky.
Yeah.
I think it's helpful to know your heart rate. I think it's helpful to know all these things, but it is very much a bonus. I think anyone that gets into running, like you do tend to get a little bit obsessed with stats because it is cool to see. It is cool to see that your resting heart rate gets lower. It is cool to see that your pace gets a bit faster and the distance that you run is longer.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely not necessary.
Yeah.
And I had someone running for, I think the first year, like they just got started running And I was coaching them and they were just using a Fitbit for the first bit. And yeah. as a coach, it was really hard to prescribe like paces and everything, but it was more about, you know, just getting the running volume in, not necessarily, yeah. it doesn't matter how fast you go.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a helicopter. Sort of felt a bit like
the loudest helicopter on earth. Yeah. Kind of felt a bit like going on then with the headphones on. I was like, Jesus.
I just thought it was a bit of an earthquake. Yeah. Used to happen all the time.
Yeah. Like, the last time that happened mm-hmm. when we had that, the big, earthquake here, that I'd say big, but you know, in comparison, it wasn't. I actually thought a helicopter was going over us, and then I realized when the lights were swinging that it was an earthquake.
Yeah, same kind of vibe. Well, I actually used to live in Japan, and so we would get earthquakes all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember initially, I would get like terrified. And the first time it happened, I was in a department store, and literally no one cared. And I was freaking out. I called my sister because I was just like panicking. And I was like, I feel like something bad's going to happen. But then it would just happen all the time. I remember being in my bathroom and everything just falling off onto the ground. And you don't really realize what's happening. But because I was up on level 8 and so the building was like swaying. And then all of a sudden, whoa. All of like everything on the shelves was on the floor. Yeah. And it took me a while to realize what was going on. But then it just became like kind of normal.
Yeah, that'll never be normal for me.
Yeah.
So the answer on fitness watch is good. Good to have one, I would say.
I would recommend getting a Garmin. If you're going yeah. to invest in one, I would definitely get a Garmin over an Apple. And it's just a little bit more user-friendly for like fitness. I think the Garmin, yeah, the Apple watches are excellent for like an everyday watch. However, I would, you know, if you want to be getting into running, I would definitely recommend getting a Garmin.
Yeah. A lot of people have Apple watches though, just casually on the wrist without exercising. So if you do have one.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, they're excellent. Like that's great. And if you've got an Apple watch, you're just getting started. You don't really need to anything else, but.
My girlfriend's just got a Garmin and, she was very, quite repelled at the idea of having a Garmin.
Yeah.
Now she's got one. All she talks about is body battery.
Yeah.
Body battery, what a sleep score is. And she, the person that she used to ridicule me for, she's now become.
It's perfect. This is what I mean.
I turn around and I have like just a wry smile every time. I'm like, yeah, you now know.
But this is what it's like. Like it is really easy to get caught up in all the yeah. metrics of it, which is exciting.
It's fun.
It is really cool. I still haven't worked out how to get the body battery. I still don't actually understand what that means.
I'll show you.
Mine just always seems to be a bit low. Yeah. but I think it's also worthwhile like just mentioning that it is easy to get caught up in it and you don't yeah. want to get too obsessed with data and yeah. you know, I was speaking to someone the other day and they were pretty disheartened because they've had some time off running and they were upset because their VO2 max has decreased quite a lot. And the thing is, like, it's all like all of this, all the information that you're getting from these watches, it is helpful, but it's not your actual VO2 max that's been, you know, performed in a lab and it's exact yeah, measurements. Yeah. It's, you know, it is a guide
yep.
and it doesn't have to be, like, I think you just have to use it, take everything with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I saw yours though when we were at that gig on Saturday and I was like, I when I saw it, I thought that you must have been looking at something else.
What actually? Oh, I'm not wearing
yeah,
it now.
You're not even wearing it.
But it's very rare that I'm not wearing it, to be honest.
70.
Yeah. So I've actually like tested in a lab at the AIS was 72. Sorry. It makes sense that I haven't been running so much, so it's like dropped down a little bit. But also these things are like they are genetic. You can train them for sure, but yeah. I mean these are genetic things as well. And I know people who have made middle distance Olympic teams, and like their heart rates are in the like their whatever what's called VO2 max is yeah, in the yeah. 60s. Like nothing special. It's you know it's helpful, but all of these things they're so individual, and it doesn't really mean anything for your potential.
Just like a quick touch, this is why we'll end up doing a full podcast on this because I could talk about this forever because I went way too deep in data for a while.
Yeah.
Or data. But you can increase it massively. Mine went from, I think it was something like 45, 44 up to 62. So you can have a dramatic increase. Like,
especially when you're starting out, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, when you're at the top end, it's harder to kind
I
of change.
I need to get back to that. But, you know, life's.
What is it currently?
54.
And actually, has that changed since Glastonbury?
Yes.
I feel like we've got like a couple
no,
of chapters in your life.
No, it's now 54 because of Glastonbury.
Yeah, and what was it before that?
58.
Yeah. Okay, well, this would be interesting to monitor and to see how quickly it actually does get up.
Well, this is why I don't look at it anymore. I'm comfortable in who I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is why we should do a full podcast on it, because I think loads of people, especially when you start out and you start looking at your watch all the time, and especially when you get a Garmin, because, you know, I think I had a Samsung fitness watch when I started, and my coach was like,
"What is that?
Yeah, what is that?" And yeah, it doesn't work with what I'm using, so you're gonna have to get a new watch. And then I found it was like the Fenix 6 at the time, which was the current watch, but I managed to get it for like $500 on sale. And I was like, all right, sweet, yoink, I'll get that. And it was the greatest thing I've ever bought.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But Garmin's tend to tell you that if you've had a day off, that you're a real piece of crap.
Yeah. Detraining. Worthless.
You're detraining, you're worthless.
Yeah.
Don't even bother getting up.
Yeah.
And that crumpet you were going to use for energy, just pile the pounds back on.
Yeah.
Because you're worthless.
Yeah, I get that. I know what you mean. It's funny because I think the Garmin can be like your best friend. And I think I'll be like, yeah. It's rare that I'm not wearing it, but I think I just left the house and forgot that it was on the charger.
Yeah.
And it becomes your best friend, but also can be a bit of a negative 100%. Best friend.
I had mine on charge yesterday because it didn't charge overnight, which I was fuming about. But I had it off for maybe 12 hours, and I felt like I'd had the shackles removed from my legs.
Yeah.
But I'm back again, shackled up. It's like Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
Last couple of parts.
Yep.
Because I know that you need to go and
I gotta go to training.
Go and do.
I've got to battle the traffic.
Couple of things. One, mindset. I know we could do a whole thing on this as well. So this is just quick fire. In fact, we'll quick fire these questions. You ready? One.
Okay. I think I have to be ready. I have no choice.
What if I feel embarrassed running in public?
That is a really good question. Do you know what? I think Riley and Caitlin have set up this run club in Cremorne, and it is a treadmill running studio. And I'm not saying that this is the answer, but I do know there's a lot of people that would come into these running studios because they could actually be running on a treadmill, and we would, like, as instructors, we would run them through. I used to work there, but we would run them through a class, and it could be like a progressive run, interval run, whatever it is. They could come in and they could feel like they were running. It's a, you know, it's a dark studio, it's sort of neon lighting. It's like, it's a pretty cool vibe. And that way they felt like they could run in a really safe place without, without being exposed, I guess, to other people.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just anyone sort of watching, or they can run it in the dark and feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I definitely recommend something like that.
Yeah. They're pretty rare though.
I guess it depends, you know, it depends why you don't want to be seen, if it's like, you know, if it is for safety, or is it just feeling like a bit self-conscious?
I think it's just self-conscious.
Yeah, and I think it's just something that, I would recommend.
Walking.
Yeah, I would recommend.
You look knackered.
Yeah. I mean, my recommendation would be that most people are not going to be, like, most people just care about themselves. Most people are not going to be watching what you're doing or, you know, any period of time that's, you know, more than 1 second.
Yep.
And so I think that, you know, it's easy to get caught up in thinking that people are watching you, judging you. But yep. I think in reality, everyone's kind of doing their own thing. And I don't know many judgmental people that are going to be watching people. If they are, that's probably a little bit weird.
They're all on the street. They're not. I will, although I asked the question, I think something in that that's good is the first couple of times doing it with a friend.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's always daunting the first time, and I think it's something,
it's,
you know,
terrifying.
Yeah, the more you do it, the more normalized it is.
I always wondered if it would be good for there to be T-shirts that on the back says, "I'm a new runner."
That's cute. I like that.
You know, so that people don't feel self-conscious.
But I don't know. In some ways, I think it highlights. I think it draws attention to them.
But it's a good excuse for walking.
Yeah, but I mean,
well, it's not an excuse, but because you actually need to walk. But you know what I'm saying.
I do think that if you're doing anything to get outside your comfort zone, it's always going to be uncomfortable at the start, and that's kind of part of it. And I was running with a friend recently, and I didn't realize this, but she, when I say recently, actually wasn't that recent. It was obviously in summer because we were both running in just like a sports bra and shorts, And I don't really think much about it because I don't really own many singlets. It's like it's either like a cotton t-shirt or a crop top that I would usually be running in.
Or a hoodie.
Or a hoodie, yeah, yeah. And so I prefer not to have to do so much laundry. So in summer I always just go out in a sports bra and don't really think anything of it. But and she obviously just copied what I was doing. She said she'd never done that before. She always felt way too self-conscious to do it in public. And I think that's the thing. It's like, you know, the first time doing anything new, it's always going to be self-conscious. But then I noticed after that, like she was always in a sports bra and it's like, it's not as scary. No one's looking, no one cares. Everyone's doing their own thing.
Definitely. You know, so I've got this 360 camera that you know about.
Yeah.
And for a while I was documenting what I was doing. And to get some of the shots where it's above your head, you basically have to run. It's a massive selfie stick that goes out. It looks like a drone's behind you.
Yep.
But you're running with a massive selfie stick behind you. It looks ridiculous. But so the first couple of times I did it, I was like, I look at it like this is horrendous. But then the more I did it, the more I just didn't care. Also, there's a guy that people should follow that's called Herm Runs. I think it's on Instagram, herm.runs. And he's a bigger runner. I think he's like 6'5". He's got a bit of a belly and he's proud of it. He loves getting his donuts after his run.
Mm.
He's got a sun's out, tums out. Thing that he's trying to get people to do where he's like, nobody cares if it's hot, just take your top off. And he's running there with his belly out and he looks sick.
Yeah, I love that.
And everybody's starting getting on board. And it goes to show you that nobody is watching you. Like, I don't know anybody that runs past and goes, oh, that person looks ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the pain cave. Nobody cares.
Absolutely. And then I guess just to finish up and just to go full circle to where we started, it's about like you don't have to look the part to be able to play the part. So get out there. If you want to go for a run, go for a run. You don't have to have any fancy gear. You don't have to look a particular way. All you just need is, you know, I guess a good attitude and, you know, a willingness to get out there, get outside of your comfort zone and just be part of it. Get amongst it.
Yeah, definitely. Just to add to that before we finish, that one of the reasons that we cover running a lot is because it's the most easily accessible exercise to do. And you know, when you think about a gym, you've usually, if it's not within 5 minutes, you just won't go.
It's true.
And literally leaving your door is the closest that you could be to be able to go and exercise, and running gives you that. So
absolutely. And it's also quite addictive. And I think we're both very so much in it. So it's hard not to be talking about it every day.
Yeah, that's true. But it's why there's such a boom. Anyway, Lissy needs to go and
anyway, run. As so, you were.
So that's the end. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Have a great one.
Yeah.
Bye.